Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to our final Revelation devotional.
If I can make sure my webcam doesn't fall off of the computer before I switch to it.
Always something. All right, good morning. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Happy Friday morning, November 19th. This is our final Revelation devotional together. We've been doing this since September. And it's been great to go through this wonderful book and to be encouraged by God and His promises of hope. I've got a nice mug of delicious coffee, Grogu's here. So people have been asking me, is this the end of our morning devotionals? Well, I'm off next week for Thanksgiving, so there will be no morning devotionals next week. My plan right now is that the following week, starting on Monday morning, November 29th, but it might not start until Wednesday, December 1st. We will do a Christmas-related series of devotionals. Last year, we did a devotional series through Handel's Messiah, using the scripture texts of Handel's Messiah. This year, I'm looking to do a Christmas series on the great carols and hymns of Christmas. And so, it'll be Christmas-related for the month of December. Probably, like I said, probably starting on Wednesday, December 1st. So we'll just make it for December. But right now, we're looking at Revelation 22 and the concluding warnings and hope of this wonderful book. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy and the hope and the peace and the confidence and the reality check that we've been getting from Revelation. It's been a challenge to us as it calls us to repent of our worldliness and compromise and to stand for righteousness and truth and to be a bold witness for Christ, to love our neighbors, to love not our lives even unto death, to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And you've given us this strong and powerful hope that culminated in the vision of New Jerusalem that we looked at on Wednesday and Monday. And now we come to the end of the book, and we pray that you would continue to be our teacher and our guide, and that you would write your word on our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 22, starting in verse 6. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. And that is how the Word of God ends. One thing just to note on the obvious surface level of this conclusion is that this final chapter is very much not only the conclusion of Revelation, but the conclusion of the written Word of God. It is the end of the story. We've come full circle. As we saw on Wednesday, we get the Tree of Life in the New Jerusalem, which we last saw in Revelation, in God's Word back at the very beginning in Genesis chapter 2. And so here we've come to the end, and there's a finality to the end of Revelation, that this is the final prophecy, this is the final word from God, and all that is left to do is to wait in expectant hope. So, these words are trustworthy and true. We can rely on God's Word. God's Word is infallible. It does not fail. It does not lead us astray. It is not flawed. And then we get this word soon that's repeated throughout this chapter. What does that mean by soon? Because here we are, it's the year 2021. It has been hundreds and hundreds of years since the Lord Jesus gave this word to the Apostle John on the island of Patmos, and we're still waiting for Jesus to return. How is this soon? Well, we need to keep in mind that the Lord is eternal. He's outside of time. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. And so time is very, very different from God's perspective. But also, soon means that we are always to live in the expectation of the imminent return of Christ. This is the end of the book. This is the final revelation. And Jesus says he's going to come again soon. And we are to wait in expectation. But why has it been nearly 2,000 years? Because the number of the saints of God, the buildings of the New Jerusalem, the stones of the living temple, have not yet all been gathered in. That's the answer that we have from Scripture in repeated places. But God is waiting until all of those who are going to be part of New Jerusalem, who are going to be part of the bride, part of the eternal holy temple city, are in. If you think about it on a very simplistic level, what if Jesus had come back within, say, 5 or 10 years of Revelation having been given? We would have no Augustine, no Luther, no Calvin, no Jonathan Edwards, no John Newton. I wouldn't be in the eternal kingdom of God because I wouldn't exist. None of us would exist, right? But God loves us, and God has chosen us from before the foundation of the world, and God has predestined us to be part of his glorious bride at the end. And so, of course, he has to wait for all of those who are to be his forever to be born and to come to faith in Christ. But when the last saint, when the last chosen one comes to faith in Christ, Jesus will come again. When will that happen? It will happen soon. Soon. So John here is telling us again, he's the one who's heard and who's seen these things, and he's so overwhelmed at the glory of what he's been shown that he falls down to worship at the feet of the angel who's been showing them to him. But the angel says, no, you must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers. Worship God. This has perpetually been a problem for the church. Even though we have Revelation, it has perpetually been a problem for the church to be fascinated by and even be tempted to worship angels or saints or what have you. We are to worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Again, soon these things unfold. Most of what's in Revelation is really for the entire church age, and so it is always applicable to all of God's people throughout the whole age as we wait for Christ to come again. Verse 11 can be a little bit confusing. Let the evildoer still do evil, the filthy still be filthy. Does that mean God doesn't want people to repent? No, that's not what God is saying here. It's not that he doesn't want people to repent. It's just that we are to hold on. We're not to worry or to fret about those who are doing evil or about those who are filthy. Just leave them alone. We are not to be distracted, dismayed, derailed by the evildoers and those who are filthy in the world. They've always been around. Look, it's so easy. I understand. We live in a culture that is quickly eroding in basic standards of decency and morality. We have seen mob violence of mobs that just go and burn down cities. We've seen a total embrace of transgenderism to the point where it's now considered to be, unacceptably, immorally intolerant to say that a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl, and, you know, to insist on that. If you don't buy into gender fluidity and all the sexual immorality of our age, then you're condemned. But we don't need to be dismayed by that. We don't need to be distracted by that. We don't need to be derailed by that. We don't need to focus on that and just get ourselves worked up into a lather. Let the evildoer still do evil. Let the filthy still be filthy. But let the righteous do what is right. Let the holy still be holy. This is a message for God's people. It's not that God doesn't ever want to see those people repent and come to salvation. It's a message for us to keep our focus where it belongs. Keep it on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he says, "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done." So we need to be looking unto Jesus, as Hebrews 12 says, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus says here, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." This is in Revelation chapter 1. We heard actually God the Father say this, that he's the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now Jesus says it. So we have this Trinitarian theology that's peeking through here in Revelation. Jesus is just as much as God the Father. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes. Naturally, our righteousness is all filthy rags. Any attempt at human righteousness, any attempt at human goodness and piety is filthy rags, but we can wash our robes of filthiness in the blood of the Lamb, and we can be washed clean, and we can be given a righteousness that is complete and entire and perfect because of Jesus and his blood that he shed for us to take away our sins and to clothe us with his own righteousness. So blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have a right to eat of the tree of life. We will live forever, being eternally nourished by God. We'll enter the city by the gates. We'll be part of and in the New Jerusalem. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. And again, this is verse 15, kind of the same message as verse 11. Don't you worry too much about those people. Yes, the world is full of wickedness. Yes, it continues to go from bad to worse. Yes, it's distressing. But it's always been that way, and it's always going to be that way. And in the end, those people are going to be outside of the city, so we don't need to let them drag us down to their level. We can keep our eyes on Jesus and be above that that filth that's in the world. If we've been pulled out from the muck and the mire, we've been placed upon the rock of Christ, we've been given washed clean robes, we don't need to worry ourselves about what's going on in the world. Of course, we do need to love our neighbor, and we do need to advocate for righteousness, but we don't need to get dismayed and distracted. We need to remember Jesus. He is the root and descendant of David. This is an Old Testament promise from Isaiah, the root and the offspring of David. This shows how he is God and man. As God, he's the root of David. He's the one who gives David his covenantal hope and life. But as the Son of Man, as human, he is the offspring of David. So according to his human nature, he's the Son of David. But according to his divine nature, of course, he's the Son of God and the root of David. What's our response to all this? Our response to all this should be to say, come. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We've seen what will happen when Jesus comes again. We should be so filled with hope and with longing that we are just wanting him to come. And then we can also say to the world, the gospel invitation, if anyone is thirsty, come and let him take the water of life without price. So this is the come, Lord Jesus, and this is come to the waters, all you who are thirsty. And then there's a warning. This is the final warning. Don't add to the words of the prophecy of this book, and don't take away from the words of the prophecy of this book. God's word, I believe these verses are not just for Revelation, but they're for the entirety of Scripture. God's word is complete and entire and perfect and sufficient. There's no adding to it. There's no, I have a word from the Lord, like Muhammad did in the 600s or like Joseph Smith did in the 1800s. No. We don't add to the word of God. But you also don't take away from the word of God. You don't go through with an editor's pen and say, I don't really like this part. That part makes me uncomfortable. I'm going to just select the God who makes me feel good about myself. No, you take God's word as it is, complete and entire. Don't take anything away and don't add anything to it. And then at the very end, we get the conclusion of all of it. Jesus says, surely I am coming soon. And our response to that should be, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And I love that the last verse of the Bible is a blessing. This is the standard benediction or blessing that we see at the end of many of the books of the New Testament. Paul ended most of his letters with these words or something like it. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. What do we need as we're waiting? What do we need as our hearts are crying out, amen, come Lord Jesus? We need the grace of the Lord Jesus to sustain us, to strengthen us, to renew our faith, and to anchor our hope in him and in his coming return. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for the gift of life through your Son, Jesus Christ. We are so thankful for the Spirit's work of drawing us to Christ, giving us life in him. We are so thankful for your word and how perfect and complete it is and how sufficient it is from beginning to end. We don't need the latest must-have Christian bestseller that's going to unlock the mysteries of the kingdom of God to us. We have your own word given to us to study, to believe, and to follow. Let us not add to it or take from it. But Father, may we all go when we are thirsty and drink from the river of life that flows from the throne of God, from the Holy Spirit who comes to dwell in our hearts, from your very presence, who unites us to you by faith. May we drink, may we be satisfied with Jesus, and may we wait longingly in expectant hope for his return. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I hope you've enjoyed this devotional series of studies through Revelation. As I said, next week we're off. And then I think Wednesday, December 1st is when we will reconvene for a special Christmas series of devotionals. They'll be rooted in Scripture. We'll use the text of things like O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, or A Little Town of Bethlehem, or others like that. But we'll go to the Scripture and have a devotional in the Scripture before we listen to the music together. So it'll be kind of a musical Christmassy devotional series starting December 1st. If you are in the Harford County area and you're looking for a church, we welcome you to come and worship with us at Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We worship at 10:30 in the morning at the Knights of Columbus building, Newport Terrace on Newport Drive in Forest Hill. You want directions, you can find them on our website, foresthillpca.org, or on our Facebook page. You are welcome. You will feel loved and you will be drawn into the worship of God. We would love to have you with us. Have a blessed day in the Lord and have a happy Thanksgiving.